On the line now, a Rebel owner.
Oh, I love this guy.
Of your Dallas Mavericks, who just almost beat the Miami Heat for the NBA title. Here is Mark Cuban.
Mark, hey, Mark. How are you?
What's up, guys? And Shaq is right. Those balls are slimy and miserable.
You see that being rectified? They're going to change that? They're going to eliminate that, or are they going to keep them in there?
No, they'll keep it. I mean, because like Shaq said, somebody really had to think it through, and that's too difficult for the NBA.
Right, but before we,
hey, you might get fined for saying that.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't care if I get fined.
Before we talk to you about YouTube, how about your Dallas Mavericks last year? How great was that to be that close to winning it all?
It sucked.
Oh, no, come on. Looking back now, it's got to be great to at least have made it there, right?
Well, it was cool to be close, but it's like almost getting a date with a hot chick. You know, it's just telling you, it just almost doesn't cut it. You know, it's just, we're just so close that you could smell it, and then to have it kind of fall apart, and especially the way it happened, it took me like a month and a half just to get over it.
Oh, man. Oh, man. But getting there, you know, but you do, once the dust does settle, once you do get over it, you do have to, appreciate what a hell of a year it was.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it was a good year. There's no question. And the ride itself was a blast. It was just the way it ended that was miserable. But you know what? Like I said, you get over it. That was last year. We're, you know, NBA's back in training camp. And we start the season in 30 days, so that's
why. You know, if you're not careful, I mean, everybody always thinks that, you know, Dallas is that football town. You're going to have Dallas as a basketball town exclusively.
Let's hope so. You know, we'll sneak up on the Cowboys. You know, I'm all for the Cowboys, but let's go Mavericks.
All right.
Have you, before we talk to you, have you thought about having one of your players accidentally OD?
You mean like T.O.?
No, I mean, the win is a stunt.
Oh, you know, man, what a trip that was. T.O.'s a unique individual, but...
You get Dirk, you know, and you say to Dirk, you say, hey, Dirk. You know,
be careful so you don't overdose on Wiener Schnitzel.
He's got his German food. He's got his American food.
All right. Texas chili.
All right, Mark Cuban. All seriousness aside for a moment, you got a weird haircut. You're kind of a guy that people in American corporate culture don't understand.
Right.
Yet I like many people, find you to be a genius. HDNet, great. A step ahead. Dallas Mavericks, the way you run that team, great. A step ahead of everybody else.
Don't forget HDNet. Are you in your HDNet?
I said HDNet, yeah.
Your HDNet.
Yeah, HDNet movies.
I was going to mention HDNet movies.
Why is the quote that I'm reading from you, Mark Cuban says, only a moron would buy YouTube. Why wouldn't Joe Sixpack out there right now think, I got $3,000. This could be, no, hold on. People really think like this, Mark. They would think, this could be the next Google.
There's two reasons why it's not. First of all, when Google, you know, you do a search engine, and for just your typical run-of-the-mill search engine, it costs you nothing. You set up one PC and have it hosted at some ISP, and anybody can start up a search engine. It's not that big a deal, and it's not that expensive. For YouTube, when you guys had your contest and people posted up their videos on YouTube, YouTube paid for all the bandwidth.
That's true.
Because you and Nickel, they covered all the costs.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, but hold on.
If I have a party at your house, I'll pay for the beer.
But Mark, hold on. You know about this too. You know about the value of advertising. When somebody buys advertising in your arena, you sell it to them on the fact that it's going to be on TV X amount of times. YouTube got mentioned on our show thousands of times.
Oh, yeah, I bet they got mentioned, but there's a difference between selling advertising and people talking about you. You know, when the guys are out there selling the Don and Mike show, they want to get mentioned, but at the end of the day, if they don't sell any ads, they're going to get their ass fired.
So do you think eventually, and I know this is only part one of your issue with YouTube not being a good investment, are you saying that that they will not have the potential to generate income from advertising that'll be significant?
I'm not saying they won't sell any advertising. The question is, can they sell enough advertising to cover their bandwidth costs?
Okay.
And that remains to be seen, because they, you know, with streaming video, not to get too technical, you can be a victim of your own growth. The more you stream, the more expensive the bandwidth is. You know, you guys stream the station, and you guys know they put lids on how many simultaneous users you can have, because otherwise the cost goes way up.
And what's the second reason?
And the second thing is copyright. You know, if I took the Don and Mike show and said, you know, it's not Don and Mike show anymore, it's the Mark show, and I sold ads and popped out your ads and you didn't make any money off of it, let's just say I just took the whole show, stripped out all the ads, all the cue tones for the ads, put it on my website, and sold my own ads. What would you do?
Well, of course, the company would come after you in a heartbeat.
Yeah. They'd sue you for
copyright infringement.
I know that on YouTube, Mark, you've got a combination of the homemade stuff that people do. That's the attraction of the website, is that you got these garage videos that are being made that are put up there. But you also can go to YouTube and pop in Johnny Carson and see some archive footage of the Tonight Show and many other TV shows. And is that the kind of copyright that you're thinking they're going to come down on them for?
All Johnny Carson stuff, that's against the law.
Right.
You know, the people who own that, they didn't give you permission. You know, there's like the two Asian kids lip-syncing the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
You guys know about all the copy, you know, public performance rights.
Right.
The people who wrote the song, they all want to get paid.
Yeah.
And so people who look at YouTube videos and just lip-sync, they don't think that's a copyright violation because it's quote-unquote user-generated original content. But it is. People who make those songs want to get paid.
What is your prediction? What is the life expectancy then for YouTube? What do you think?
It's just smart or not. There's, you know, if someone, I said you'd have to be a moron to buy YouTube because the minute there's deep pockets, someone's going to sue the deep pocket.
Mm. Oh, so okay.
So if CBS came along and bought them and Sumner said, you know what, we didn't get MySpace, but we want YouTube. Well, all these music companies you know, they might do one or two or three deals, but all it takes is one company to sue them and, you know, get, you know, billions of dollars in damages, and they're out of luck.
Then I'll ask a follow-up question. Say you are the guy that's brought in to fix YouTube. Is it a fixable situation
where you can
make it profitable? And I don't know whether you want to tip your hand.
If that's the case, how
would you do that? That's what I wanted to know.
The way you fix it is by taking all the copyrighted stuff off. You don't let it on in the first place.
Okay.
And by them letting it on, they're saying, you know what, we don't think we can be as popular, you know, without people being able to see sports highlights. I mean, the easiest place to go see a sports highlights of football games is YouTube.
Mm.
But, you know, the NFL wants you to go to their website. The NFL wants you to buy them from iTunes. The easiest way to get the best parts of the Daily Show with Jon Stewart or David Letterman.
Hold on, let's talk about your world. I know that NBA.com, I know people who have been in Europe on holiday in Europe and have actually gone to the computer to watch live basketball.
Sure.
So that happens. Will the NBA do something will your buddy David Stern do something if your league's highlights are on?
I don't think he will because highlights for old games, particularly for basketball, it would cost us more to sue them than we'd get back.
Mm.
And I think you'd also know that it's more at stake for music and movie companies than there is for sports leagues. So I don't think you see the NFL or, you know, maybe you might see Major League Baseball because they make a lot of money selling those compressed baseball games on MajorLeagueBaseball.com, MLB.com. So maybe they sue them, but I think it's just going to be the record labels. They come along and say, you know, we need to get paid, and if you don't pay us, you know, and right now they got no money to pay anybody with. And so I just think, you know, unless they take down all that copyrighted material, they're just admitting that they can't succeed without copyrighted material.
You know, I hear astronomical sums of money floated around for the purchase of YouTube. Do you see a major player coming in and buying YouTube? And do you see them maybe making some of these adjustments that you're talking about?
No, because, you know, you don't know what percent. I don't see anybody coming in and buying it because you don't know what percentage of the traffic would disappear if you took the copyrighted material off. And you don't know how many people would sue you for back damages.
Hey, here's a question. Mark, maybe you know this, maybe you don't. Who owns YouTube?
A couple kids. Chad, I forget the guy's name, Hurley and Chan. I forget the first name. Right. Like Chad Hurley and Andrew Chan or something.
So what advice?
They used to work at PayPal. I mean, I'm sure they're great guys.
What advice would you give them? Would you give these kids, I use that term loosely, but would you give these guys the advice, go out and get as big a pile of money as you can now from some sucker and get out of this?
Yeah, you know what? You know, I have this old business advice I give everybody. When you sit down at the business table to negotiate a deal, you always look for the sucker.
Mm-hmm.
If you find the sucker, you sell to them. Huh. If you don't find the sucker, it's you, and you get out of the room. You know, and those guys, if they can find somebody to sell to, get out. You know, do it and get out. If not, they're going to get stuck.
All right.
I mean, they got to clean it up.
Next thing, and I know you do. I know you want to discuss this on HDNet. Very excited you signed Dan Rather, who really got the screw job from CBS. I know the answer to this, but please tell me anyway. How editorially responsible are you going to be with him? Is it going to be whatever Dan Rather wants?
Yeah, whatever Dan wants. Whatever Dan wants, I want him to go out there. You know, he wants to recreate what 60 Minutes used to be about, what investigative news used to be about, where it wasn't like, you know, used to be it didn't matter. You know, like we did a movie, Good Night and Good Luck, and, you know, you can see the history of Edward R. Murrow where, you know, CBS said, you know what, let's put the news first and the economics second. And now that's all changed. You know, now it's Les Moonves is proud because Katie Couric shows her legs and he gets an extra couple $1 million and an extra penny per share. And that, you know, I think that's really hurt news and it's hurt the payoff for news. And I think it's hurt viewership. With Dan, we said, you know what, get the great interviews, uncover the stories. Don't worry about the financial side of it. Let's just do the best stories we can find and just go out and do your thing. And he's, no, the guy's 74 years old, and he's got the energy of a 25-year-old.
I was going to ask you about that.
Around the world, man.
You know, he's 74, and he's still, you know, it seems like maybe he would still have something to prove. One last shot to, you know, to get out there and do a show similar to the old 60 Minutes. So it is going to be a weekly show, Mark?
It's going to be an hour show, a weekly show that is probably going to start right after the elections now. And so, you know, come mid-November, he's going to be out there just, you know, he's been all over the world. The places he's already traveled through and the schedule, I couldn't keep up with him. It's just really been incredible.
How pissed off was he at CBS? Can you say?
He would never admit it. He would never admit that he was pissed, but you can just tell.
Yeah.
You know what? The honest answer is he's kind of my Steve Nash. You know, Nash left and went to Phoenix and had something to prove in his mind, and now Dan has kind of got let go by CBS and has a lot to prove in his mind, and he's out after doing it.
I hope he doesn't get his hair cut like Steve Nash did.
Yeah, and he shaved up all his hair from what I've heard. It's even nastier now.
And Mark, what was it like being George Clooney's friend?
I'll tell a quick story.
He's super.
George is a great guy, first of all. You know, I mean, you know, nothing better than being George's wingman and hanging out.
I bet.
Yeah. And so we were at an after Oscars party, the night of the Oscars.
Right.
And I walk in there and, you know, he hangs around with the same group of buddies he grew up with, just like I do. And so my buddies and his buddies hooked up together and we're doing shot after shot. And I'm like getting bleary eyed and I look over it and I'm leaning against this girl. I'm like, this girl is hot. Who am I leaning against her? And it's Cindy Crawford. And then I kind of, I kind of spin around and almost knock over. Actually, this girl almost knocks me over because she's sober and I'm not. And it's Uma Thurman. And then I start talking to this guy. My name is Guy, and he's got this English accent. And I'm bouncing off the tables. George is laughing at me, handing me his Oscar statue from Syriana. Huh? Hey, that lady over there looks familiar. Who's that sitting right by Georgia? Oh, that's Madonna. And I'm like, this is just a normal party night with George. And so it was pretty cool.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I said, George, you just call me anytime you want to go out and do shots. I'm your man.
I guess so how much, if you don't mind, money-wise, how much did you throw into that thing? Because didn't you get at the end, didn't I see your name as like didn't you get like a producing credit or something on
that? Yeah, no, I was executive producer. The way it worked out was the movie Good Night and Good Luck, nobody was going to make it. And so he actually called my partner Todd first and then this other guy, Jeff Skoll. And so between me, Jeff, and Todd, we split it. So it was $8 million to make, that's all, relatively speaking. So Jeff's company put in $4 million and Todd and I put in $4 million. So personally, it was $2 million, and the movie itself grossed $31
million. Yeah, good for you. It was a great movie.
The movie was great, and if it means anything to you from a broadcasting standpoint, I love the way that everything was recreated so perfectly.
The details.
For the studio in that day with Ed Murrow, I mean, you couldn't forget.
And that's George and his partner Grant. They were meticulous about that. This was George's, like, product of love. I mean, he was so into it, and you know, he made sure everything was perfect. Nobody was going to make this movie, and he just fought for it. So, you know, we're proud of it because it was going nowhere until we stepped in, and, you know, it got me drunk and partying with Cindy Crawford and Uma Thurman. And it was a good movie, so what more can you ask for?
All right, it's a fantastic movie, and I left it thinking, I just saw the best piece of microphone porn I have ever seen.
Oh, yeah, Rob's into microphones. He liked the vintage microphones, Mark. That's what he digs.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Kong. You've done good. Please ignore that last 30 seconds.
That was our producer.
Mark, great having you on.
Thanks, guys.
I won't sell the farm and buy YouTube, and we'll talk to you during the basketball season.
Yeah, appreciate it. Check out HDNet if you want the NRather, www.hd.net.
Oh, I'll be watching that. I love HDNet.
All
Thank you, Mark.
Talk to you soon,
guys. Appreciate it. Have
bye-bye.
A good night.
Bye-bye. Mark Cuban, very, very cool guy.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, he's into a million different things. And, you know, I love it when, I mean, that is a zillionaire, Mark Cuban, who talks about going to a Hollywood party like you or I would talk about going to a Hollywood party. I dig that.
Pretty good stuff. Thank you, Mark Cuban, and thank you, Kong. It's microphone porn.
Did you ever hear of Kong?
Like he's going to have any idea what you're talking about.
You know, that is a very narrow interest that you have in vintage microphones.
It was complimenting him on his set design.
Kong! The eighth wonder of the world!
Hey, you're into it.
And what I do with it is my own doing.
All right, this is time to say hi to the happy singing folks who sponsor this show every day.
Hallelujah!
Here we go, jingle time.
This is the Don and Mike Show.